You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
Hey, Lisa, you know what? Halfway through the introduction, I looked up on the shelf here in Upstairs Studio, and I saw some Jack Daniels and a few other kinds of whiskey staring back at me, and I thought, oh, I wonder if I could take my earphones off, run over there, and grab a bottle and a glass before the music is done, and I realized, no, I couldn't, and now I'm kind of
sad. You could go right now.
That wouldn't be professional. Of course, this part that I just did that I'm going to not edit out because I'm too lazy probably isn't professional anyway. Anyway, welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live from Upstairs Studio. On the phone with me, it's Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I'm good. And so here's what I'll do for you. I'll go get the bottle that I can grab because I'm walking around on my phone, I'll have one for you.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you. I appreciate
See
that.
See what I do for you?
Oh, that's
See
so nice of you.
You.
Hey,
oh,
hey, so I got a little bit of a topic, and I think what we're going to end up talking about is expectations, and so here's how we're going to get there. Again, spent 2 months in Australia, got a lot of Australian stuff to talk about. Love Australia. Last episode mentioned problem with their internet, problem with some of their roads. Okay, that's on the table. Another problem I got is Australia, you need to step up your plumbing game.
Wow.
I'm just pausing for a second to let Australia think about it. Okay, so here's the situation with Tasha and I had an issue with Australian toilets, Lisa Murphy. And here's the deal. Australian toilets don't have as much. Excuse me for that ding if you heard it. Australian toilets don't have as much water in them as American toilets.
And okay.
First, I thought this was just a couple of places we were staying, and then we were there longer, and it became the norm. And then I did some research online, and I read some stuff from Australians that have been to the States, and were like, their toilets have so much water in them. It's like a swimming pool. It's like a hot tub. And so this is apparently a real thing. It's not just me
bitching.
It's a thing. Well, it is me bitching. Also a thing, though. Okay, so you know what? Here's the deal. When you've got a nice water-filled toilet, like we Americans have, you. This is gonna get kind of graphic, but our listeners.
I think I know where you're going. There's no way around it.
Yeah, but our listeners are hardy stock that work with young children, so they can handle a little bit of poop talk.
And this episode will weed out the ones.
It certainly will. Okay, so here's the deal: when you got a lot of water in the bowl there, you get splashed down, and you flush, and everything goes away. When you have just a little tiny bit of water in the bottom of the toilet and lots of a porcelain around, there's often
residue,
streakage, and
skid marks.
Yeah, and so every Australian toilet comes with a scrub brush, and so here, if I don't know if the lack of water is a water saving idea, but if it is, it doesn't work because you got to double flush, and the time it takes. It was just annoying, and I was very happy to get back to we landed in San Francisco on our flight back, and we were very happy to go to modern American toilets. So, you know.
And am I, okay. Can I make an assumption that you were not expecting that?
Oh, I was not expecting that. No, I was not expecting. And it's something I had never thought. I hadn't thought about it as a thing to expect.
Even be expected. Yeah, I get that.
And
like you go to some travel places, you go to some places and you kind of know, like, hey, this is what's going to happen there, either because you've had people who've traveled there or whatnot, or you just kind of know from your own experience that you're going to be using a pit in the back or something like that. But I think I would have agreed with you, not agree with you, because this isn't a agree or disagree. It's more of a, I think I would have been in the same boat in that would probably have surprised me.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, when I think of Australia, I think of some things being very similar to maybe what we have here.
Yeah,
I didn't know that Australians think that we have a whirlpool in our toilet.
Apparently, I did some research and I found some blog posts and stuff like that from you know, 10 things you didn't know about America, those kind of posts.
Oh,
and
funny.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to see if there was that other perspective. And now, see, going down there, some of the things we did expect is, you know, we're going to be driving, and you got to be in the vehicle. You're sitting on the opposite, driving, you're on the opposite side of the vehicle than you're used to, on the opposite side of the road. But we were expecting that, so we were able to prepare for that. I don't know how I would have prepared for the toilet situation, and frankly, in the course of a day, it really wasn't that big of an annoyance, and yet
right.
It's a little bit out of what you expected. And I think when it comes to connecting to early learning, I think a lot of times we have expectations, and we may work with 40 kids over the years who match those expectations perfectly, and then that one child walks in who doesn't fit the mold of your expectations, and you find yourself a little bit taken aback, struggling a little bit put off by whatever that difference is, and that becomes it takes a little bit more effort to settle in to that relationship with that child or that situation.
I think also, and just to use your example, I know it was a little exaggerated, but if you have had kind of the same experiences for 20, 30 years with kids, I think that without realizing it, you could end up drifting in one direction or the other in regard to really remembering what would be appropriate, right, for certain age groups. And so then you do get, as you said, that one kid who might just be out of sync with what you've come to expect, but yet still might be presenting with completely 100% developmentally appropriate behavior, action, or language, right? So now we think, oh my God, when really we're the one that's kind of gotten into this groove. And I'm not saying that that's good or bad, but I think it's really important when we first feel that we're having that, like, reaction to check to see what part of that might be ours that we need to own before we, you know, put it on to something else or somebody else, you know, like expectations. Okay, so I'll circle back. I mean, to trying to make it a little more personal, my nieces and nephews are all here, and I have this little itty-bitty apartment that is not kid-proof at all, although I don't have anything fancy, if that makes sense, right? So, you know, if at the end of the day the rocks get dumped out, that's fine. They're still just rocks, right? But it's, you know, there's sharp corners, and, you know, there are a couple of quote-unquote nice things that, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. So at first, you know, I found myself like, whoa, 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 and then I'm like, okay, what am I doing? Dude, who are you? Are you not Lisa Murphy? Jesus Christ, put this up for crying out loud. So, like, that first afternoon was spent with Auntie putting things in boxes and putting them up on the high shelves, and then I was able to relax. But it's like, instead of being like, no, I mean, that's totally on me. That's, you know, my, you know, not even that it was an expectation, it's just that I first found myself, you know, being like, oh, wait, careful, and I'm like, I'm not going to spend the next 2 weeks saying, wait, careful, you know, let's control this environment so that my expectations can be in line with what these, you know, two-year-olds are bringing to the table. Two-year-old twins, by the way. oh, my God, they were so freaking awesome. Oh, my God, it was Oh, it was incredible. Anyway, but that's not what we're talking. We're not. This is not Lisa bragging and fawning over her four nephews.
Well, we can do that episode next.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have to make a list.
I think we've got to own. I mean, it is our issue. I mean, Australia is getting along just fine with their horrid lack of water in their toilets. I mean, as a country, they're doing just dandy, and probably don't give a flying wombat what I think about it.
Oh, look at you. So let me ask a question. You know, back in the day, I remember people saying things like, "Oh, well, they don't know any different. They don't know any different." And you know, I don't know if you really can say that a lot of times anymore. But perhaps is this something that is just, it's just what happens to where they wouldn't know that in some places there's more water in the toilet? You know what I'm saying? Like to them, it's just not a problem because they don't know that there could be more water in the toilet, or it's just,
They must know, because there's airplanes going back and forth every day, and the internet, so they've got to know. And frankly, once this podcast comes out,
I don't know how on the internet would you know that some countries have more water in their toilet.
I found out after.
I think that's.
Yeah.
You found out that there was less.
I think the way you find out is that the people that are in charge of designing toilets and coming up with the specifications all went to school the same places and have, I mean, the same backgrounds and go to international conferences and I expect the experts to know their stuff, and so I think it's a choice. I think maybe it's big scrub brush. Big scrub brush controls Australia, and the big scrub brush lobby is keeping the toilet water levels low in order to sell scrub brushes.
It's like
buggy whips. They put more water in those toilets. Scrub brush sales are going to decline by 90%, and some industry is going to be hurt. So I don't know if it's government subsidies or what, but I bet that's what's going on.
Kind of like our plastic flies, right?
Yeah, exactly.
anyway.
And so those expectations, we've got to own them. And when life throws the unexpected at us, I don't know, the best we can do is make do? What?
Make do. I've been surrounded by little boys.
That was a joke.
That's a poop joke. But I also think, and not specific to the example that you have just shared about the toilet water, about expectations, but did you even realize that was an expectation of yours until you were experiencing, like, face-to-face of the opposite, right? Like, you did not go to Australia saying, by gum, I expect my toilet to have an American-sized amount of water in it. You didn't even know that was an expectation until you were faced with the opposite.
Yeah.
But then you had to own it.
Uh-huh.
So I think if you want to bring this, not that you want to, but to bring it back to a classroom or childcare center or whatever, it's like you have to, that's why that pausing occasionally is so important, because you could find yourself getting completely agitated and frustrated about something that is, if you whittle it down, an expectation, but that you didn't realize it was just something that you were expecting until that particular thing wasn't happening. And then you have to face it and be like, whoa, I'm disappointed. Well, why are you disappointed? Well, this didn't happen. So you were assuming that this would happen. Well, yes, because that's what I've come to expect. Okay, well, things are a little different now. So, how are we now going to have to recalibrate to faced whatever it is right now that we're facing, whether it's a new environment or a new experience or a new kid in the classroom? You know, are we going to stay rigid? By golly, this is just what has to happen this day of the week. You know, well, maybe today that's not going to happen. So it's how we respond to it, right? Like, there are some people, and I can't say that I know them, but I just know people. There are some people whose trips would have been ruined because of that awareness that something like that was different.
Uh-huh.
Right? They just can't get beyond the fact that it's new or different or it's not what I've become accustomed to or this isn't just what I like or whatever, and it'll ruin the day. But then the people who that, and there's a word for that, that, and it's not resilient, but the people who are able to go, okay, this is going to be a little different than what I'm used to, a little bit of a hassle, huh? But, you know, shoot, I'm going to be here for 2 months. I'm sure I'll probably get over it and get used to it. And now we were able to, like, acknowledge it and then shelve it and then get on with our day and have a positive experience while we were there.
Yeah,
but that would have ruined some people's entire time that they were over there.
Well, I thought about doing that. I thought about just not pooping the for the 2 months, but I did a little bit of Googling there, and there could have been some medical problems. For the first week or so, seriously, Lisa Murphy, I was thinking, am I pooping differently? Have I changed my stance? What's going on here? And so I think part of it is when that thing, whatever it is out of line with your expectations, sometimes you've got to fine tune and dial in to figure out exactly what the issue is here. And the issue ended up, after we figured it out, was water. And I no conversation between Tasha and I about this for like the first 2 weeks. And I'm like, did you notice that? And she's like, oh yeah. And it was hilarious.
Oh, yes, I did.
That's
funny.
And yeah. And I think
expectations can not always, but I think you could also substitute the word assumption.
Yeah.
And I think often, you know, even that silly little rhyme aside of, you know, never assume anything that'll make an ass out of you and me, but I think often it's our assumptions that get in the way. And often assumptions come back to assuming that, you know, somebody can read your mind or that somebody knows what you're expecting, right? Instead of being verbal about it or articulating it or expressing that, whoa, this is a little different than what I've come to expect. You know, is that going to get in the way? Do we need to have a conversation about it and whatever or whatnot?
I really like the language you used a little bit ago, the recalibration idea. And I think that's what... I think in our classrooms, that's what we need to try to be more effective at, recalibrating for today. Because the reality is, when you're tuned into the children, today is not going to be yesterday, and it's not going to be 3 weeks from now. Today is going to be today. And best practice is that we are as good as we can be today. And that requires a lot of willingness to set aside our expectations for the day or for the hour or for the morning or whatever, and recalibrate based on the situation around us. Which and let's face it, there are a lot of people in this profession who aren't very adept at that, and want the. They want the day to go according to their pre-planned schedule and theme or whatever, and that's not really the way it happens.
It works. Exactly. I didn't expect a chipmunk to come into my house yesterday.
Yeah, I would tell, how, what's the story there?
Okay, so my apartment, although it's small, it's two stories. You've been here. You can help me if I'm not explaining it right, but... So upstairs I flip-flopped what should be the master with the den and the den with the master because I need more room for working than I do for sleeping. And so I'm in my den, and I'm on the phone booking one of these gigs, right?
Uh-huh.
And was answering a lot of questions, and the conversation wasn't going, again, expectation, as quickly as sometimes I'm used to having conversations, which was fine. So I was wanting to, I was very mindful of having to kind of, what was that? Of not talking as fast and being very clear and specific with my language, and no big deal, but I was having to focus. The end of the day, I was having to focus very hard on the phone conversation that I was having.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the backstory. So I'm sitting in my chair, and all of a sudden, I noticed that chipmunks, like, came into the room and heard me talking and went, apparently, oh, well, there's somebody here, and then left, and I went, oh, my God. So in my head, now not only am I having to be hyper-focused on this phone conversation, but now I'm distracted by, where the hell did that chipmunk come from, and where did it go? So while I'm having this conversation, now I'm walking around the upstairs looking, and I see it under my bed in the next room, so I close the door. While I'm still having this conversation, and I walk next door, because that's where my brother and his family live, and so all the nieces, nephews, my sister, everybody's over there. Through the window, I see my brother there. I need you now. I'm also still on the phone having this conversation. And anyway, at the end of the day, we captured it. But, you know, I hang up the phone because the conversation was over and my brother's now in my house. He's like, okay, he goes, at least it's not a squirrel. He goes, because they can climb on the ceilings and the walls and they shit everywhere when you're trying to capture them. He's like, I got this. So anyway, so my brother came over and we, gently escorted him out of the window. We didn't kill it, so I don't want to lose any listeners here, but apparently he landed on his feet. No, I'm just Mikey opened the window, the screen, and kind of encouraged him out, and he kind of scrambled in the gutter, and he went and did whatever chipmunks do.
Yeah, that was probably a little bit out of what he was expecting for the day as well.
He was. He said he didn't mind as long as he likes chipmunks, but he hates squirrels. So, you know, at the end of the day, I guess it was good that it was a chipmunk and not a squirrel. Anyway, point being, I was expecting, you know, the 20 minutes that it took to get the chipmunk out of the house, you know, I could have probably, you know, gotten 14 more emails done. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, boom, this is it. Now we have an adventure. Now we have a story. And, you know, we got to go talk to the nephews. So the work will have to wait until the morning. And boom, there you go.
I had as we were preparing to come home, I had one of my expectations challenged, rocked, grandbaby.
I know what you're gonna say. I saw it on Facebook.
grandbaby got a mohawk, and not a faux hawk. This is a real mohawk, shaved down to the skin on the sides, and there's about a 2-inch strip up the middle where it's about 5-6 inches long and spiked up, and they've been doing it today. It was done in twists, so it was about 8 little twisted little spikes sticking up on her head today. And my expectation is for this little girl with this beautiful red hair to have the long, beautiful red hair that Papa thinks is so, it's just cute.
Pretty.
And yet there's a mohawk because grandbaby saw a mohawk someplace and said, Mama, I want my hair like that. And Mama's like, yeah, okay. And
that's fair.
And so that happened, and we were out in public yesterday, and...
Ooh, talk to me about that.
And not much to talk about than a couple, hey, like your hair.
Come on, did you get some stink eye? Oh, really?
No, okay. No.
I was wondering if you facilitated some stink eye questions or comments.
I half expected it, but no, it was the exact opposite. She's in her girly girl little black and white dress with her bright red mohawk, and just nothing but confidence and from her, and happy smiles and kind words from the people around her. So that's kind of cool. A couple kids out with their parents, you know, close to her age, doing back to school shopping, and I want my hair like that, I heard in the school supply aisle, and
sure.
The response I saw was no, that's not going to happen response, but it was and
that's too bad. I mean, I don't know, I've always kind of had the, you know, if blue hair was the extent of, you know, what you were battling, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah.
And this could spiral into a whole other conversation. But man, that to me is the biggest, like, pick your battles, you know? It's going to grow back. It's just hair.
Oh, yeah. And maybe that needs to be a pick your battles episode. I think that could be a fun one. Wasn't expecting the mohawk.
You weren't expecting a mohawk with the baby.
More pleased by the mohawk.
She does rock it, though.
Yeah, oh, she does rock it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean... Yeah, what would you expect, though? I'm more pleased with the mohawk than I was with the toilet water situation. But still love you, Australia. And hey, any Australians listening, if you can explain the whole lack of water in the toilets thing to me, I'd love to hear about it. So get a hold of me and enlighten me, because there probably are benefits. I'm probably healthier because of the... Oh, crap, there's another one. Oh, we're gonna have to save it for another episode.
Oh, hold on! Before you do it, let me say this. I'm gonna challenge Australia to amend this situation and then invite me to come speak so that I can rub Jeff's nose in it.
Oh, I don't want my nose rubbed in it.
Well, when I went to Australia,
the toilets were
plenty of water in the toilet. Yeah. They must like me better.
Well, for Lisa Murphy, they'd probably hire somebody just to add the water on her way into the bathroom.
A lady in waiting.
Oh, I got another thing that was way out of our expectations that'll have to wait for another episode, because we got to wrap this one up.
Why? What time is it?
Oh, we're coming up on 26 minutes for this episode, and that's about a quitting spot. So this is called a cliffhanger. You're going to have to wait and see if I remember to tell the story, and then if I do. So here we go. Hey, people, thanks for listening. And I mean, really, thanks. That sounded kind of snarky. No, seriously, thanks for listening. We have fun producing these things, and the fact that you all listen in and give us good feedback and keep listening and share the shows with your peers means a lot to us. So we'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. If you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.